just came to praise Jesus. I just came to praise Jesus. I just came to praise the name of the Lord. For he has given peace and victory to a soul that was lost. I just came to praise the name of the Lord. I just came to praise Jesus. Oh, I just came to praise Jesus. I just came to praise the name of the Lord.
Praise the name of
praise Jesus. I just came to praise the name of my Lord. For he has given peace and victory all to a soul.
Hallelujah. picks up pretty good here. Yeah. All right. Well, good to be with y'all tonight. My friends, my... Yeah. Now it's on. There we go. There's a halfway button. I only had it halfway. I won't say too much tonight because got this allergy season thing going on. And along about 4 o'clock, I start coughing every evening. I have been for about a week. So the more I talk, the worse it is. Little red caboose. Behind the train. But I just want to say, you know, Brother Sister Smith, Mom and Dad, they sold the farm in Missouri, and they went up there and closed that Monday and moved all of Brother Randy's stuff out. And then they got a head. They got started out last night and spent the night in Branson. Got up, broke down in Marshall, and they broke down for several hours there in the U-Haul. Got down here. Some of the people come helping them unload, and they got down about 6. Well, he got called me about 6. He just dropped the truck off, and so he was on his way home. He said he was just wore out. And so that's where they're at tonight. And then Sister Bryant, many of y'all know, some of you don't, she's in the hospital with obstruction in her small intestine. Doctor, she's in a lot of pain, but the doctor seems to think that this will work itself out. And if it doesn't, within the next 48 hours, he may have to do surgery. I don't think he wants to do surgery. I think he wants this thing to work itself out. And so he's hopeful, and if he can get her through the pain part of it. I went up there and seen her today. Anybody have anything on Brother Crow? Is he in rehab still over in North Little Rock? Good. Good. Good report on Brother Crow. But Jerry York's van broke down. He's got an alternator problem or something. And so he's trying to get that fixed tonight. Brother Pryor, he kind of like an on-call doctor. He's, you know, when a regular mechanic, you know, the cars break down, he says, we'll schedule in tomorrow between 8 and 5. And when these commercial vehicles break down, it's money, these companies, to get these cars back, these trucks back on the road. So he had to run up to Russellville tonight and work on that vehicle up there. And then Dad told me that Brother Izaguirre, y'all remember Brother Izaguirre from the Philippines? Well, he thought he was going to Chicago to see his son. That was his plan. But he started having chest pains, and he went to the doctor here, the hospital, and ended up having a triple bypass. Yeah, and they would have. He said, "I would have called y'all, but we didn't. You know, the card was at the house, and we didn't. You know, I didn't know where to tell him to find it. We found it today after he got home. That's where they've been the last couple of weeks in the hospital, recovering from a triple bypass surgery. But he's home. He's feeling better. But he wanted to. He is doing good. But he did want the church to continue to pray for him." He's at home. Yeah, he's at home now.
Mm-hmm.
He's here in Little Rock. I mean, at his daughter's house, I believe. Remember Brother Izagiri. So I also remember my daughter-in-law, Brittany. She ended up miscarrying Sunday. I know several women here has been through that, and then there's several of y'all not only been through that, but y'all know somebody went through that. It's a time that you need somebody praying for you. So she's doing well, though. She's, you know, last time we talked to her, she's doing fine, and her health looks like it's going to be okay, but I don't think it's hit her yet. And so that's why she needs to be in y'all's prayers, you know. And so we're also glad to have Brother Painter's mom, Sister Jean, here, her husband, Brother Ogden. Glad y'all are here tonight. And
what's your grandson's name?
Nathan. Nathan, I'll remember that. Brother Nathan's here tonight. I've got a Nathan. I should have known. I'll remember that from now on. It's like when I went to see Sister Bryant, I said, what room is she in? I said, 437. I said, that's my two lucky numbers, 43 and 7. I'll remember that. So I'll remember Nathan because I got a Nathan. So we're glad to have you all here tonight. Sister Elsie, glad you're here. Right. Yeah, she's telling me something though back there. Good here. Your family?
No, she's having a lot of back pain.
A lot of back pain? Okay. We'll be praying for you. She's real soft, but she's way there in the back. Yeah. Sister Hannah, I know she's glad to have her smiling face here tonight. Always like she's smiling. She makes me feel good when I just look over at her and she's, all right, she must be glad to see me. You know, she's got a big smile and makes me feel real good about that. I am thankful for piano, Sister Lynette stepping up. You know, they have turns that they take, and was it Sister Bryant's turn tonight? But, hey, she got up there, and I felt a good spirit come in, worship. You know, it can pitch in any night, any time over there. Got good song leaders. Always do a good job pulling on the spirit, playing the piano. Even when they don't have a plan to do it. They just like to, you know, I know my wife plays piano. She kind of likes to get her mind, you know, on it. You know, before, if she knows she's in charge, she kind of says, I got to get my mind on it, you know. And then they kind of, when they get surprised, well, I didn't have my mind on it. But they, you know, they can just pinch hit, get up there and do it anytime they're calling on. In season, out of season, don't matter. It was really good tonight. I appreciate that, Sister Stewart. Really do. Yes. It was good. Everybody's feeling it. Brother Phil was back there. Really feel I seen him really touching himself. Through Sunday. Okay. November the 8th?
The Friday. They only scheduled this surgery on Friday. So
okay.
Friday.
Okay.
And also, successful surgery.
Joe is going to have surgery. And, right? It's Joe, right? Okay, yeah. This guy right here. Yeah, I thought so. Oh. Lord, touch Brother Durham, maybe, and get in there. And they look and say, well, wait a minute, we don't see that on the x-ray this time. That's right. I believe in miracles. Hallelujah. It happen all the time. Brother Daniel's son, Jacob, needs prayer. And I know I was going to say, Sister Bryant in the hospital, I know it was pretty taxing on Sister Karen. Going back and forth, staying up there. Brandon stayed up there all night with her. And then Brother Larry's missing work, but he was going to go back to work today. But his truck was broke down. And so he went ahead and stayed at the hospital. But he said he's going to go ahead and have him schedule him work, because if they do surgery, they probably won't do anything before the weekend anyway, so he could get back if he needed to, he said. I'm going to turn this off that way I can step away from the mic. let's go ahead and stand and pray. Pray for work. All right.
God forgive me if it's bad. I didn't mean it bad. So that we're going to be Quakers tonight because this lady was visiting when I worked at the Bernina store, and she was a Quaker. And I think she was a Quaker, or she knew some Quakers. And she said that when they came together, they sat there. And they sat there. And if nobody quaked, was moved upon, I assume what she was talking about, they got up and went home. And they were sitting there, I don't, God forgive me, but I turned around and I told this lady, so I had to think about that tonight. I went, well, if everybody got up and got home and God was about to bless them, you and you weren't there to receive it, you'd be left out. So I want to get up. I want to quake. I want to present myself. I want to try to yield myself unto the Lord, a vessel that maybe he might be able to use me. And if he can, at least I presented myself, gave him, you know, what I could give him to ask him to use me in some way. Lord, let me be a vessel that I might influence some soul, if it's the, what they call them, panhandlers or whatever, that I might be some kind of light that someone might be able to see. And not just out there, how about just right in here? That I might see that I have that need to present myself. And I thank the Lord because, you know, he's given me an opportunity to be here. I could be Sister Dolores Gospeller, Brother Crow over there in rehabilitation, somebody else sitting at home because they didn't want to get up and get dressed to come to church tonight. I don't know who or what reason, but God has allowed me to be here. You know, he's given me a reasonable portion of health. I think about it, you know, in terms of the ones in my family that's been in the hospital and has had all these different surgeries, and I think, you know, I got most of my parts still. And I mean, this sounds funny, but it's the truth. You think about this. I had, when I worked for the Bernina store, this lady had a sister, and she got up and she said she don't have to worry about being on time for work because she's got to get up early enough to put on all her parts to get there. And this, and she was not joking. She had a partial. It was something about her eyes. I know she had had a mastectomy. Different parts of her body were missing. And she had to put them all on. And this was truthful. She was not she made a joke out of it, but she was telling the truth. I can't remember, but I said it was four or five things she had to do to be whole, to get that dress to go to work. And I don't have to do all that. I have a bad ankle, so I might limp on my way out the door, but I can go out the door. I've got both feet, so I can wear shoes. And I thank the Lord for I wear glasses, but when I take them off, I can read. I mean, I don't have a hearing aid. My husband might need one, but I tell you the truth. God has given me, think about this. I can see, even if it's with help. I can hear, even if I have to get the earwax washed out every 6 months. And I do. I have to. I don't void my own cerumen. But I can hear. I can see. I can definitely taste. Everybody can tell. Pray for me on that. I mean, think about this. All the five senses, and I can use all five of them, and I'm thankful for it. I'm just real thankful for it. I mean, I'm going to have to work on each and every one of them, but God has allowed me. That's a blessing. It's people out here that's got prosthetic devices to walk with or to use their arms to feel with or one of their eyes, you know, to wear that patch or to pop in one. Those things might seem, you know, like it's excessive to talk about it and stuff, but those people, you know, are thankful for the senses that they do have. Like talking to someone that's deaf, their vision is probably much more acute because they've got three lips. And you think about that, their hearing usage, they probably don't have as much arthritis as I do because they've got a sign. I mean, everything, and I believe this, I guess it's my favorite scripture in the whole Bible, that all, A-L-L, and believe me, I've had to spell it many a time. I've had to say it very, very slowly sometimes. I've had to moan and groan and try to convince myself sometimes. All things work together. I mean, incorporated, they work together for my good. I believe it without a shadow of a doubt that my God has me in mind. He reached out and picked me up out of sin and brought me this way. Might not be a perfect overcomer, but I'm working on that inner man, as Brother Smith has been preaching about. I know he's giving me time to become what I need to be, and I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for all the things that God's allowing to be incorporated in my life.
I also want to be obedient to our ministers that I was under, Brother Tucker and Brother Lineker, when they used to tell us, and I remember it sticking in my brain about when there's a lot of people missing, do your part. Get up and, even if you just get up and say, thank you, Lord, I love you for everything you've done for me, whatever. But, you know, I just don't want to say that just to say it. Whenever Brother, Brother Mike was saying about Brother Durham, that hopefully when he goes to get tested again and they say, well, there's nothing there, you know, to have surgery. Well, that's happened to me. And, you know, God lets me remember things that I went through, what he's done for me. And one of those things was my heart. When I had a couple of mild heart attacks, and a doctor tested me and said, you got some blocked arteries. We're going to have to go and get in there and put some stents and this and that. Well, I was like, oh, Lord. I went and got prayed for and everything and told everybody that, you know, hey, I'm going to admit it. I'm scared, you know. Anything to do with the heart, you know, I'm scared. And so I go in to do the procedure, and they did this test first, and he come back out and was scratching his head, and he said, there is nothing wrong with you. He goes, you have a perfect heart. Brother Weiniger, remember that? You were there, I think. And I was like, wow. I said, it's God. God did it. You know, I mean, I wasn't ashamed of saying what I knew, what had happened. It had to be God. God is the one that touched me, and I give him the credit because, I mean, you know, I felt a tightness. I felt, you know, the pain that whoever, I know several of you have had heart problems and stuff, and you know what it feels like, and, you know, being tired all the time and all that. Well, I don't want to ever forget what God did for me. And that's just one thing that he did. There's so many things. So, I mean, I would be like an ungrateful child when kids get gifts all the time and they just take advantage. They, you know, don't say thank you to their parents or grandparents, you know. I don't want to be that way with God because God has given me all these gifts of healings and answering prayers for little bitty things like my keys. Oh, my goodness. I'm the worst when it comes to the keys. And the other day, just this week, I mean, Stan couldn't find his keys. And I said, Lord, this time I'm not asking for myself. And you know you've helped me find my keys many times. Please, Lord, help us find. He needs them. There's so many important keys on that key ring. And so we go all over the house. We knew he got home, so they had to be in the house somewhere or outside. By then, it was dark, and I went and got a flashlight, went out there. And I went on to the porch, and I said, Lord, you show me where those keys. I'll go back and look if I have to go back to the same places. Maybe I just didn't look good. And the truck kept coming to my mind, you know. But Stan said he had looked all over the truck. I go, open the door, nothing there. Then I just looked in the back of the cab with a flashlight. There they were, right there. And he has no idea how they got there. I said, God must have put them there for me to find them. Because, I mean, you know, he said he would have never put them there. I said, well, nevertheless, it was God that helped us find him. So, you know, I said, so be thankful. And I said, I'm thankful because he's showed me where I have laid my keys or, I don't know, so many different things that I could just make it, write a book about different things that God has helped me locate in my house. And now that I'm getting older, it's like my brains, I just forget what I'm going to say or whatever, you know. And Sister Brenda had told me about some herb to take that they was going to give Brother David, but he died before he started taking it. And I forgot what she told me, so I had to call her back and say, now, what was that? I had to write it down so I could go buy it. And so far, it's not helping. But I bought the complex, and somebody said, that's not the full strength. You've got to buy the full strength. So I went today to Drug Emporium, and I got the full strength. It was cost more, but I said, I'm going to give this a try because the doctor recommended it for patients that were having first stages of dementia. Hey, it's got to work. So, I mean, I'm not saying I have that, but I act like I do sometimes because I'll be talking to you and I'm like, what was I talking about? You know, or, you know, if I'm talking to somebody and I remember something, I have to interrupt them. Hold on. Let me tell you because I'll forget, you know, by the time I finish that. Thank you. I'm glad I'm not the only one. But anyways, I'm just so thankful. I am overwhelmed because I know that I'm not deserving of so many things that God and is doing, has done for me and doing for me. And, you know, all these things they're talking, all this negative stuff they're talking about, which I have no idea what's going on about the shutdown, all this stuff, I don't know. You know, I just know it's nothing good because I try to scroll over the bad stuff and not read it because I don't want to get down. I can't do anything about it. God is in control. He knows what's going on. And if, you know, he's allowing it to happen for a reason, so be it. You know, somebody said, well, aren't you worried that when you're 76, you're not going to be treated for cancer? I said, well, maybe I'm not going to get cancer. You know, I don't know. God's going to help his children. And we're going to do our part and serve him and he's going to take care of us. I'm not going to worry about that. Why worry about something I can't do anything about? So I just want to be stay positive and thank God every day, which I do every day, for, like Sister Tally said, you know, hey, I can walk even though I might walk with a limp sometimes or this and that, but I can walk. There's many people that can't even walk, and I can talk and I can eat. Like she said, she needs prayer on that. I think it's what she was talking about. And maybe that's one of the things I shouldn't, but I'm working on it. I really am. I'm doing something about it. And except on Sundays, that's the only thing I cheat. Time I cheat. But I'm confessing that is the truth. But anyways, I will do better. Promise. Anyway, I love God and I love his people. And I'm so thankful that I get to come to church. I don't have to. I get to come. And I appreciate God keeping his hand on me when I'm driving and out here. Because they, you know, I'll say, yeah, you have to drive like everybody's crazy. Well, here's another crazy person because, you know, they got to watch for me too. So anyways, I'm just, again, thankful. Been very, very happy to be here tonight.
Campground for a while. I haven't done it, but it was a wonderful meeting, wonderful spirit I felt. One of the talks that stuck out to me the most was Brother Gary Wright. He talked about different things in our lives, that different spirits that are common in preventing us from getting closer to God. A vengeful spirit, a spirit of mistrust, tending to accuse people, to be critical of people, and these are qualities that I see in myself very often, and these are qualities that I believe I need to overcome, and I know we're all trying to overcome things. One thing that he spoke about, he spoke about 1 Corinthians 13 about charity, and he broke it down into the different, not to just, you know, charity. I've always considered as something that I will show you charity. I will do it because I have to, because I know I have to tolerate you, because I know if you do something wrong to me, I have to forgive you. But it's not just about what I have to do. It is something that I have to get in my life, that I have to allow to become a part of me. To instinctively suffer for someone else's sake, to instinctively put someone else before myself, someone else's feelings before my own feelings. And like I said, I've been meaning to get up and talk about it a while. It's something that it really meant something to me then when I heard it. It means something to me now, and I'm thankful for the opportunity I got to go, and I know we've been talking about, you know, standing up and being thankful. So that's what I want to do. I want to stand up and be thankful for my family, be thankful for the opportunity I have to be a part of God's work, to be a part of His family, because I see great things happening and I see great things coming, because God is doing a work with His body. He's doing a work in this world, and He's going to bring more people out. And it's very interesting. It's very interesting to see, but not only that, it touches me. And the older I get, and the closer I get, and the more I learn that I can't just consider myself all the time, but I have to consider the feelings of others, and consider that it goes beyond just me and my little bubble that's around me and what's going on in my life. But I'm part of a greater whole, a greater purpose, that God has a greater purpose, not just for me individually, but from whatever individual purpose He may have for me to tie into a greater purpose, because I believe that He has a purpose for everyone, and I want to be willing to be used by Him for whatever He may use me for. Like I said, I'm thankful to be here tonight. I'm thankful for the opportunity we have.
Sister Linda, the Lord spoke to me, and I thought, that's not the Lord. But He was also reminding me that I had something happen in my life, and the final results were, we don't see anything for you to be alarmed about. End of November 2000, I was working night shift, and I had a strange headache at work, and I thought it was from just all the stress of being careful in a warehouse, someone running out in front of you in a 6,000-pound forklift, forgot to blow guy's mind on something else. And I laid down and went to sleep and got off about 2:30 in the morning, and by 5:30 in the morning I felt like someone was hitting me in the head with about a 5-pound hammer, and the pain was, it brought me to my knees. I thought of, who can I call on and ask for prayer? I couldn't think of anybody. The pain was so great, I couldn't even stand up. I tried putting on my jeans and just a jacket and go to the emergency room. The pain was so great, I couldn't make it. I must have suffered until about 8 o'clock in the morning. And in those days, we had a school. And I called the school. After praying, the Lord spoke to me. And I was asking the Lord, who can I call? Who can help me? And this scripture come to me. Is there any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. I said, that's the Lord. That's the Lord. So I called the school and I said, Sister Sue, Brother Daniels, I said, I'm suffering. I can't tell you how or what I need. I said, but I'm asking you, when the kids have chapel, will you pray for me? And she said, yes, Brother Daniels, as you speak, we'll begin prayer. And she said, you need any help? I said, I need something. I need a miracle. And I don't know what I did after that, but I remember a phone call coming, and it was Brother Weiniger. I said, Brother Bill, what do you need? I said, Brother, I need a miracle. And he came 15 or 20 minutes later, and I'd been in the back room trying to get ready. I'd made it as far as the living room, and somehow I don't know if I passed out, fell out on my sofa. Brother Weiniger came in and kneeled down beside me, and we began to pray. He said, what do you think? I said, I need help, brother. He rushed me to the hospital, and the diagnosis was, you have an aneurysm on the brain, and it's bleeding. Oh, Lord. Brother Weiniger stood by me. I couldn't make heads or tails of what the doctors were saying, but I appreciate a pastor standing by the people of God. And he listened and talked with the doctors and everything. And they gave me a shot for pain and run me through several tests. And they come back, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours later. I don't know how long I was out. And they said, we have another diagnosis. So we have good news and bad news. I said, well, give me the good news. He said, it's not an aneurysm on the brain, but it's a tumor. We found a tumor on your brain. And I thought, oh, well, that is bad news. These things don't happen to me. It happens to other people, and I get to pray for them. I had to face all those things. And, you know, they asked me questions about my health and all. What kind of medications had I been on? And, you know, I gave them a little report. And they kept me in the hospital probably from Thursday to Saturday evening and released me to make follow-up visits, but I was on a medication called prednisone. And I'd been on that since 93. And it was tough. But anyway, my testimony is I went back to work taking the medication, but I couldn't help but call on Jesus. You know, God can help us. He's an all-time God, isn't he? I began to cry out to God. Didn't murmur or complain. I don't know what I thought. I could just visualize having the surgery, because they told me if it doesn't shrink, whatever, we're going to have to do surgery. And I thought, oh, Lord, I'm afraid. I'm afraid to have this surgery, dear Lord. Co-workers at work would see me crying, leaning over my lift truck. And I'd almost want to tell them, please leave me alone. You have no idea what I'm going through. I may have came up here to the church and just laid on the floor, asked God to help me. I did all kind of things, trying to get the Lord's attention. In the meantime, the headaches began to come back again. And I called my doctor and I said, hey, listen, something's going on. He said, I'll tell you what you do, Bill. I'll give you a call, or my nurse will, and we're going to reschedule you for another MRI. I'd been out in the hospital about a week or so. And I said, okay. 2 or 3 days later, they called me and said, Mr. Daniel, you need to go to Arkansas MRI clinic over here by Sears in those days. And I went in there stressed out. The nurse could tell, are you depressed, lady? More than that. I'm afraid. And they had me to change clothes and put on their uniforms and get on this, I don't know. If any of you have ever had that MRI test, you know it sounds like a jackhammer, some men doing construction work in there. I said, well, Lord, I'm in your hands. All this noise, I'm going to get me a nap. I did. I went to sleep. And they told me the test was over with, and they was going to send it to somewhere and get it fixed. And I kept praying, asking God to help me. And about 4 days went by, and I come home one evening, and I would come in the evenings, and then I thought about the times that Brother Whitlow would come by and visit us. Before he would even have a meal, he'd go to God in prayer. I'd come in from work, and I'd just kneel down on my bed. God, you got to help me. You got to help me. And when I got up from praying, the light on my answer machine was blinking. And I had two messages. One was from Arkansas Democrat Gazette, and I didn't want that. And the next one was, Mr. Daniels, this is Dr. Schlesinger's nurse, and I'm calling about your MRI results. and we want you to relax. We finished the test today, and we don't see any reason, we don't see anything on your brain to be alarmed about. And I just stood there and cried. And tonight, sitting there in my seat, the Lord reminded me, and a second witness was when Sister Linda got up and said, I want to thank the Lord for what he's done for me. I appreciate his love and his mercy. He didn't have to do that for me. I went to fellowship meetings during that time saying, pray for me. I've been diagnosed with a tumor on the brain. And I appreciate all his love and his mercy, but I just came here to praise him tonight like you. For the many things that he's done, he has took a soul that was lost and he brought me to the wells of salvation. I appreciate his hand on my life tonight. Brother Smith just mentioned a word or two over the weekend. What would we do without God? I'd be lost and undone. A man without God is like a man without a country. But I found a people that care. I found a church where I found life and love. That's what I needed. But most of all, I'm glad I found the Lord's loving hand on my life. I appreciate being here tonight.
Fear. I was thinking tonight about all the things that have been said tonight and all that's been going on this week in the news and all the bad news we've been fed. And the scripture kept coming to me, I bring you great glad tidings of great joy. So I looked that scripture up, and that scripture starts with, fear not. And I think of the scripture in Psalms, I think Psalms 112, verse 7, that says, he shall not fear evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Yes. And I think about, you know, when we're in this economy we're in and you're afraid to open up an email. Brother Phil can attest to this. You never know where, you know, what, especially in sales, that next email, you know, you get it, see it's coming from corporate. What do you think? You don't think you're getting a raise. You don't think they're called and tell you what you're doing, a good job you're doing. It's what new requirements they have on you. Or the bigwigs are coming in from out of town, and they're going to do a review on you tomorrow. And do you have your books in order and this and that? And it's fear. You feel that fear welling up inside you. And I think about how you know, my mom always said, you know, one of her favorite sayings is, fear is, worry is interest paid on a note that's not due. And I think about that. How many times what we fear is we and the darker things are, and the less we can see, the more we fear. You know, there was a TV show here a while back. I never watched it, but I heard about it where they put people in a dark room where they couldn't see what they were touching. And it might be something as simple as a sponge, but they had these people so keyed up with fear that these people were just thoroughly convinced that was a jellyfish, it was going to sting them, or a scorpion or something like that. They turn the lights on, and it's nothing to be afraid of. And I think of how when we don't have light, how it's easy to fear. You know, this back when I used to hunt a lot, I'd go in these woods. I'd go in these woods all the time. Never think a thing about it as long as I had a flashlight or as long as it was daylight. But I had a bad habit of listening to Art Bell on the way out to the deer woods. I don't know if y'all ever listened to Art Bell, but it used to be a TV show, I mean a radio show that's like coast to coast with Art Bell. And he was always talking about the chupacabra and the Loch Ness monster and aliens and demon possession and all this spooky things. And I'd get out there, and I used to hunt out there behind Keith's house, and those were that really dark, brambly woods. And I'd get out there, and, boy, I'd want to wait for daylight. I mean, those deer can wait. There's nothing in there. I fed myself full of that. That whole way out there, it's the only thing that's on the radio. I'm half asleep, so I listened to that to keep me awake till I got to the deer woods. And then once I fed myself full of that, there was nothing in those woods in the dark that wasn't there in the light. But I convinced myself there was. Oh, and I was just fixing to say that. Who remembers the old sanctuary in the old church? Remember that big window? Remember how that place creaked and it settled at night and Mama would be up there late working at night? And that place with the lights on, not a thing to worry about. Boy, when I was walking across that sanctuary at night, I just knew there was a face looking at me out of that window. And as long as I didn't look, but as soon as I looked, I acknowledged it was there and I wasn't going to look. So I just, you know. Anyway, I always think about how it's the darkness. It's when we don't know or when we refuse to trust. You know, and I know I've told this story a million times, but it's one of my favorite moments of my life was when I'd ruptured my Achilles tendon, and I was sitting there in the recliner. My favorite maple tree had burned up because it was a drought was coming. A drought was here, but then Katrina had just hit, and Rita was coming on. Y'all remember that? We watched gas prices go up. All my terminals for the company I worked for down in New Orleans and Baton Rouge, they was all destroyed by Katrina. I was worried that my company was going to go under. I was already in a 4-foot hover because my leg was in a cast and all the things I was worried about. And I'd been sitting in front of a TV because I couldn't go to work. I had my leg in a cast for a couple of weeks, so just nonstop feeding myself full of this stuff that's just feeding me worry, and I could feel my panic just rising, and I'm watching the news, and here's another hurricane coming on, and I could feel it just building, the fear. And then I looked down, and sitting in a circle around me were my four dogs with their backs to that TV because they wanted a piece of my ham sandwich. They couldn't care less what was on that TV. They knew that regardless of what happened, that they were taken care of. And I thought, how much more can I trust those dogs know they're taken care of, and I'm fallible. I've proven time and time and time again. Forget to let them out in the morning, forget to feed them, forget to bring them in at night. I've proven that I'm fallible. God is not fallible. And he's our heavenly Father. And if all we're going to do is, I thought about this the other day. I was talking to a driver for another trucking company, and he said, "You ever think that God's like a dad, and that we're like a little kid hanging on his leg? Give me a Coke, give me a Coke, give me a Coke. I want a Coke, I want a Coke, I want to give a Coke. Give me a Coke, give me a Coke. He might have just given us a Coke. I want a Coke, I want a Coke, I want a Coke. You're not going to give me another Coke, are you?" I said, "You ever think that God wants to slap the snot out of us every now and then?" for not trusting, for we don't trust him, and I don't trust him. I think about that when I, you know, every day I wake up and it's like I can feel it. I can feel that, and I don't know if it's a feeling of dread in the morning, knowing what you're expecting. You know, but it's not knowing. But we do know. We have to know. God has proven time and time and time again that he's going to take care of us. I mean, look at Brother Daniels. Look at Sister Linda tonight. I mean, this time I know God loves me. He didn't let Sister Tally tell us what parts that she's missing. I know, but I was afraid she was going to go there. But I'm thankful. I mean, I am. I'm so thankful, and I don't want to be ungrateful. I don't want to be that bratty little kid. I want a Coke, I want a Coke, I want a Coke. And I think about the Israelites, and it's so easy for us to look back, you know, and, you know, here's God leads them, you know, has these miracles. All these miracles that, all these plagues that strike Egypt but don't strike the land of Goshen. And then God leads them out. And then they see these miracles. And, you know, the parting of the sea, the manna, the all the thing, you know, leading, you know, all the miracles he performed, and still the Israelites murmured. And it's easy for me to look back and think, were they crazy? All these miracles that they have seen, you know, in their trek across the desert, but I'm just as bad. I've seen these. I've had these miracles happen. And I believe that God can provide. And I don't know how. And I don't know how this is all going to work out. I don't have a clue. But I do trust. And I do want to at least have the faith that I will step back and I'll let the light shine. So I'm not afraid of what's in the dark. I don't want to fear. There's nothing worse than fear, I don't think. I don't think that, you know, here a couple of weeks ago, I've been fighting this knee. This knee has been just giving me fits. It's tendonitis is what it is. I figured it out finally, which is what I thought it was all along. But you know what? The knee is not what bothered me as bad as not knowing if it was going to hit and when it was going to hit. And how it's going to affect. What if it hits when my boss is coming into town? What if it hits when I've got a trip plan going out of town? What if it hits and there's a work day and I've got to stump around here like, you know, Festus Hagen off Gunsmoke? And it gets old. It does get old. But it was the fear more than the pain and not being able to function. It was the fear of what, you know, what were my coworkers thinking while I'm laid up at home on the couch with my leg stuck up with an ice pack on my knee. What are the people in church going to think if I'm not there for a work day because I'm gimping around? But it was the fear, and I don't want to feel that fear. I want to trust God, and by me trusting God, because if I can't trust, I can't bear the infirmities of my brothers. I can't help them carry their load if I'm not strong. I've got to be strong for my. Today it occurred to me that. You know, when the economy turned south in 2008, my business, we really took a nosedive. Everywhere I went, every customer I would call on, I would see this look of fear in their eyes. It's almost like deer in the headlights. I'd walk in there, I'd see this, you know, almost a tense, like, are we going to downsize? Are they going to outsource? Are they going to move us to Mexico? Or what are they going to do? And it started occurring to me that. That if I'm seeing that look on their face, they're seeing that look on my face. And I'm like Typhoid Mary. I'm spreading this disease. I'm going from customer to customer, and I'm not making things better. I'm making things worse. So I started praying when I went to where that if I can, let me affect one person a day. Let me leave. When I leave their office, that they feel a little bit better about the situation instead of a lot worse. And the freight will take care of itself. And it has. I mean, God has said, you know, it's never been, and it seems like God can keep you humble because it's never really been the big account that I can be really proud of. It's always been just enough. It's just enough to keep the wolves at bay. And I've watched other account managers come and go, but it's always been just enough. And I don't want to discount that. I don't want to discount that. Even though I would love to have that grand slam, knock it out of the park, you know, Brett's the man. But it never happens. But it's always just enough. And it reminds me of when the Israelites couldn't keep the manna. They couldn't keep the manna from day to day. They couldn't stockpile the manna. They had to trust that every day they were going to get fresh manna. Anyway, I was thinking today, I've got to where a lot of places I go, people want to talk. People just want to listen. They want somebody else to listen. They want to talk. And it occurred to me, you know, I started kind of bellyaching about that, even though that's what I prayed. It was like, who am I going to talk to? Why do I have to listen to everybody else's problems all the time? Well, I'm not a rolling psychiatrist. I don't have any answers. They just want somebody to listen. And I thought, and all of a sudden it occurred to me, I don't have to have anybody to talk to. I've got God I can talk to. I mean, where could I go but to the Lord? I mean, who, you know, what better friend, what better father do we have than that? And I'm thankful for that. And I don't, you know, I get up here and I stumble around. And I love talking face-to-face and one-on-one, but I would just soon take a hot stick in the eye than get up here talking. I really would, because it's hard to land this thing. It really is. But I'm thankful. I'm so thankful that, you know, that we have this refuge that we can come to, and I don't want to be ungrateful. I don't want to discount this, because I know that there's so much fear and so much uncertainty in the world today, and we've got a great, great gift right here. I mean, I feel it, you know, and I'm Wednesday night, it's hard. I mean, people say they like Wednesday night service. I'm not that guy. But when I leave, I know that something's been done. I know there's been a change that's been wrought. And I appreciate that. I'm thankful to be here tonight.
Song, and I've not sang it in church without Rachel, and Sister Jody has done it, but I was just really feeling this on the way to church, and the different ones have talked about this, so y'all just give it a try.
God picked up a sparrow that could no longer fly. Brushed off its wound and then watched it soar into the sky. If he's mindful of creation, on this I can depend. I am God's child, and I can place all my trust in Him. I can trust on His will, He always.
Said here by everyone who spoke, and the good songs, including that last song. So let's just remember this week to, for all these needs that we need to pray for, and before we go home, let's give him a praise one more time. Have not heard anything about a work day this Saturday. Haven't heard anything on that. If I wasn't here and I didn't hear it, so I'm not going to repeat something I didn't hear. So if somebody else wants to say we're having work day, I'm just not going to say we are. So, I mean, are we supposed to have one? Okay. All right. Well, unless you hear otherwise, I guess we will have one this week. There's something going on every weekend. So, but I had a quote I wanted to give you. It's in the Bible quote, but I thought it was still a good quote. Fear is pain arising from the anticipation of evil. Chew on that. Fear is pain arising from the anticipation of evil. Why are we worried about evil? All right. Amen. See you Saturday, Sunday, and...